Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Why you're here with Dr. Greer, and you're listening to the Dr. On Call Show at HealthyLife.net. And my guest today is Genius Organizing. Actually, I have two guests, but we are going to be speaking to one and or both, Julia Wright and Nicole Abramovici. They've both been featured on the Nate Burka Show, CBS News, Better Today, and Time Out New York. Nicole was a TV producer and Julia was an administrative director when they decided to leave their jobs and start a tri-state area organizing shop 6 years ago. They are smart, funny, sassy, and tell it like it is. And we certainly need to be talking about organization because that is the word that everybody can get tripped up and trip over. So welcome to the Dr. On Call Show. Julia, you're with me?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Terrific. And it's a pleasure to have you because the word organization can throw people into a complete lather. It can create anxiety in and of itself. It's almost synonymous with public speaking. It's right up there with taxes. Organization people know they need to be, want to be, and yet find a million and one roadblocks that get in the way of organizing their lives, organizing their homes, organizing their personal space, organizing their time, organizing their responsibilities. So where do you begin? How do you begin to tackle the day-to-day quandary of good organization?
I think it varies. You know, it just depends on what you're organizing. You can go about it in many different ways. But first and foremost, I feel like you have to really prioritize you with anything else. What is giving you, what is the most disorganized or what is the most immediate disorganized space that is causing you the most problems, the most problems? I always recommend list making, sort of taking, and, you know, it can be a little bit, I like to write things down or I like to use my computer to sort of take a personal story. If you're having a problem organizing time, you know, where are you losing time? Where are you late? Where are you not having time? Where are you wasting time? If you're organizing a closet, really what determining what goes in that closet, just prioritizing what's the most simple thing.
Can I stop you there, though, because
sure.
what you're saying makes such absolute resounding sense. And yet I have heard so many people who get stuck at just that very point, which is having the clarity about what goes in, what goes out. I remember there was an old Bob Seger song, and in it he said, you know, what to leave in, what to leave out, against the wind. And that is the challenge, what to leave in and what to leave out. How, when people gather a lot of stuff because they think they need it, it has a certain sentiment, there's a certain attachment to it, particularly if you come to a closet, how do you encourage people to start to tackle organizing in terms of even beginning to know, do I need this or don't I need this? Will I wear it or won't I wear it? Because it's really very daunting for so many people that I've encountered who say, I know I've got to get rid of stuff, but how do I know what stuff?
Well, I think you can ask yourself a couple of simple questions, especially if let's focus on a closet, because I think a closet is probably universal for people as far as what can be chaotic and nice. You can start by things that you use, right? So if you have something that's been in a closet for 20 years, you're not using that. But then those sometimes things fall into a subcategory. That subcategory is this special to me? Is this a memento? Is this my grandma's in the past? And If so, I like to think about, well, what's the future of this sign? So if I am not using it, and it is 20 years old, what's the future? Is the future of this item that it's going to be passed down to my children? Is the future of this item that I'm going to hold on to for value sell one day? What is the future? So by asking yourself a couple of questions for items, things like that, those help you really think about, well, do I need this? If I don't need it, then if I get to the end of the sins and it's all of a sudden, well, I'm not going to give it, pass it down, and I'm not going to sell it, and it's taking up space and I haven't used it in years, well, that kind of ticks off several boxes, so I think it's time to go. As far as clothing sense for that, you think about the structure of the item. You think about the size of the item and how it's been since you've worn it. People hold on to things, especially that we see, Nicole and I see a ton of new mothers. And, you know, for the mothers, that go through years of different phases of their body, especially if you have a baby and 2 years later you have another baby. So you're holding on to six different sizes, and you have to really kind of focus on what is going to be, what am I going to wear in the future? Is this something that has, you know, it's in pristine condition? Because we encourage people to treat yourself well and not wear things that need mending or need stains on it. And if it does need mending, maybe getting it done in a timely fashion so that you, it's not just, oh, there's that in the closet that needs a button sewn on it. Sort of being proactive and pulling the things out to call action items and getting those things done.
Well, that really makes great sense. In other words, approach it with a certain degree of practicality and really looking at, because, again, the emotional component runs such static interference that people look at a dress or a pair of pants. If it's too big, they think, oh, you know, I could wind up altering it and tailoring it and making it kind of look refreshed. If they're too small, people say, I can lose the weight and get back into it. If it was something that was given to them by somebody special, they think, oh, you know, it reminds me of the relationship, and I'll hold on to it. It gives me nice memories. I mean, and I hear over all these different reasons why people are holding on to it. And eventually being able to say, you know what, even if I can tailor it, there's something new that I could spend the money on for a little bit more and be a little bit more contemporary and a little more current. If it's, you know, I'm going to fit into the pants, instead say, let me replace it with something that's fitting me right now, and I can always get new pants in a smaller size. The question I have, though, is when women, particularly around their closets, go through the steps of practicality that you're describing, have you had the experience where they then do get rid of things and come back to say, boy, do I regret giving up that sweater, or, gee, I wish I didn't give away that one pocketbook.
I think it can, but I don't. I think there's a tiny little, like, I'd had that, but I think the overwhelming goal, which was to clear the space and be free of clutter, is way more outweighs the item that they gave away.
Well, that's a great point. In other words, keep your sight on the big picture and don't get caught up in the small details so that, yeah, maybe you'll make one decision and say, gee, I wish I had that sweater. But again, if you've gotten rid of something that you really do miss, go replace it and get something that's a little bit more current and contemporary.
Absolutely.
So where have you experienced people having the most difficulty at decluttering?
I would say, like, where, physical-wise, where in the house?
Yeah, where are the rooms that, I mean, you know, because kitchens can become just, you know, black holes for all kinds of papers and miscellaneous stuff. Closets can become black holes for all the stuff you thought you were going to wear or think you're still going to wear. You know, bathrooms can become black holes for all the medication you once took or you think
right.
You're good in the, I mean, it's, I guess the question is, some people more prone to clutter than others?
I'm gonna let Nicole answer this.
Okay, great.
The first question you asked about, where do we see the most clutter, that's sort of like a black clutter.
Mm-hmm.
I find that happens in storage spaces and in extra bedrooms where the room is not particularly earmarked for anyone or any one type of zone. In a storage space, if you have a storage space, you can throw anything in there from soup to nuts and people. And they just say, well, okay, I'll keep this thing, I'm just going to put it in my storage space. And it just comes to ask for every single item that isn't even good enough to be in the first tier in their own home.
Mm-hmm.
Also, people have an extra room, and they call us and say, I'd like this to be an office, I'd like it to be a spare room. But until it becomes that point with our help, it is absolutely rooming stuff every single thing there as well. And these rooms are black holes. And by the time they call us, people are very overwhelmed, and we have to come in and help them declutter them and give them their overarching goal, which is to make that space now exist as what they want it to be.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, it's interesting because in listening to you, when you you would think that having a storage space would be a problem solver, but in fact, it's a problem compounder if it's not very specific and organized and just becomes a receptacle bin for everything.
Absolutely. That's the first thing when a client that has a storage space, that's the first thing I say, let's get rid of that. Cause especially, you know, we live in New York City. It's a money sucker,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a lot of people. So this is a you know, challenging time financially for a lot of people. And seeing that someone's wasting $200 a month, something they're not really accessing, it's, you know, I want to tackle that immediately.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting as you're saying it. Right now I'm in the process of going through a renovation at my office in our home. And when I was faced with the task of starting to put everything in boxes, you know, we're replacing the furniture, I can't even tell you. It was like I shuddered at the thought of it. And I found things in the, I mean, because you're absolutely right. It was that, okay, if I'm saving this, this goes in the office. Anything that I wasn't sure about to keep or not to keep would go in the office. And unless you have, as you're saying, that designated spot, it goes in the office in this file, in this case. I was just flabbergasted at how much stuff I had that I said, how did it get here? And again, you know, without any accountability to oneself, the storage bin can just become like, you know, it's like another planet.
Absolutely. I mean, unless they're fully labeled and with shelves and you know exactly what's in there, I encourage you to do inventories. Nicole and I talk about this all the time. You know, create an inventory. Even on a closet in your house, a little, you know, has to be stuffed full because you have no other place to put stuff.
Mm-hmm.
An inventory, so you know what's in there. You can do it digitally. You can do it, tape it right on the door. That's really the way that kind of a space works, is if you're able to know what's in there on any given point.
Yeah.
And we also recommend that if you have certain types of items, if you're keeping extra paper towels or toilet paper or something in one of these closets, you can put another list with the inventory of holding low on. Instead of having to get in there and root around, you just grab the door, know what you have, and know what you need. And then you also don't overbuy, which also inhibits you, you know, creating more clutter.
Well, you know, that's a great point, too, because I listen to people. I've had people come in and they think it's amusing, and I guess it is, that they forgot that they had a particular item. And they replicated it, they bought it again, or they, you know, they thought they were out of something and wound up in an argument with a spouse, or we have to go get this, and then he or she would come and say, look, you have all of it here. And I think that for some people, they want to make sure that they have, but without the organization of knowing what they have and where they put it, they wind up feeling that they don't have enough, which adds to the clutter.
And it also adds to the problem. You end up in a vicious cycle, which the cycle is you buy things, you find out that you have, so you've spent money, then you find out you've overbought or you have extra those things, then you feel guilty, and then those things spoil or go bad, and now you have to sway and you waste money and you feel shameful. It really does create a circle that happens over and over again.
So where do you see these kinds of happenings where people overspend, overbuy, are sort of in their effort to be responsible or in fact being irresponsible and compounding, trying their, you know, attempt to be efficient, trying to be efficient, and yet flooding the situation? What are the items that people tend to do that the most with?
I see a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
And food and supplies, like general supplies, like paper towels, toilet paper, toiletries.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I believe the reason why a lot of this happens, people want to talk to people about their background, sort of get a sense, a picture of where they come from, because it can tell you a great deal about why this person is doing something. And once you sort of peel back the layers and reveal them, you know, well, let's talk about your childhood. If someone came from a very poor background, didn't have access to all the supplies that they might possibly need. They tend to overbuy. They tend to it's a way to control. There's a lot of anxiety about you're not really sure what's going on. You don't have a lot of control over things in your life. If there's sickness, there's you can control never running out of toilet paper.
And buffer against deprivation, feeling that you won't have what you need or that you won't have enough. You wind up this way making sure that you have abundance. You know, which is a great thing for people to feel. And so they can wind up unwittingly and quickly getting inundated by, in their attempt to make sure that they have enough, they can have too much, and it works against you.
I had it like this. I had a client who was actually a double amputee. And without him really seeing, I could intuit from him that he was thinking, how am I going to work later? How am I going to be able to get things later? I'm kind of deteriorating. My health is deteriorating. So when he would get out of his house, he would buy T-shirts for like $2 each. He would find them at sales and stores going out of business. And every time I came to see him, he had more T-shirts for me to put away. And I said, the money that you save on these cheap T-shirts, you now have to invest in a dresser.
Wow.
A T-shirt. And he said, well, I'm not going to do that. So get them all the way up to the top of the closet if you can. But I stacked them to the ceiling. And my client, in his physical condition, going to get to the top of the ceiling in the closet, even to stand up, which he didn't necessarily do, to get the T-shirt. So I felt this was backfiring on him. And I tried to reason with him. And not to say I had success, but he had to hit a wall at some point where he just couldn't do it anymore. And I wasn't seeing him at that point. But you can see how he was just sort of packing himself into a whole bunch of T-shirts. And, you know, you can wash T-shirts. I mean, there were so many, I don't think you could wear them all.
Yeah, right. We do see that a lot. We see that. And I try to, we bring it back around to our clients, like, turn the tables a little bit. Like, how many pairs of shorts do you think is a reasonable amount of shorts for people to have?
That's really helpful.
I'm sorry?
That's really helpful. What's a reasonable amount to have? Because I think people are clueless and, you know, will accumulate, whether it's jeans or shoes or pocketbooks or shirts or coats or whatever. There isn't usually that guideline in the criteria of, you know what, two coats are all you need. If somebody came out with that, you guys want to do a catalog of, here's what you need in your closet. You know, like when they say how to pack well for a trip?
Right, yeah.
You know, here's what you need. You need five pairs of jeans. I'm making that up, of course. One if it's in the wash, one for your dress, one for this, one for that. Because most people, you would know this better than I, clutter their working closet and then live out of one very little tiny portion. I hear this over and over and over with my patients that they can't find their stuff and they're really only working off of either the new stuff that they've bought or the old stuff that they feel comfortable in, but they're working out of maybe a quarter of their closet space because that's the only portion of it that they feel they have a certain element of access and control over.
There's actually a statistic, it's called the 80-20 rule, where people are wearing 20% of their clothing 80% of the time. So sometimes we can get our clients to identify that 20%,
mm-hmm.
and maybe get rid of things. I've seen, I know probably Julie has as well, the person has 26 pairs of black pants.
Wow.
Or 26 pairs of black shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is falling off the hanger and getting dusty and has a crease in the leg from never born, and the shoes are jumbled and falling apart because there's not enough room to store them. But they just keep thinking, oh, say, I'll get these, I need these, I need these. And after a while, that's when we have to really ask them, what is a reasonable amount? As many times, you know, what are the 20% of these clothes that you've worn 80% of the time? And so we use those parameters as well.
And I think the worst is with children. You know, parents overbuying for this size is not going to be wearing that size in a matter of months, and seeing a 4-year-old with 15 pairs of pants, along with 15 to 20 pairs of shorts, along with 15 to 20 shirts, and you know, it's virtually impossible for that child, if you made a different outfit every day, by the time they're out of it, for them to actually wear that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
wear that amount.
Mm-hmm. It really is, and I think realizing that they're is a question of how much is too much and what's realistic and what's practical and how many extra things do you need so that you keep your closet workable. I love that 80-20% rule because I have encountered that and find that that's true for so many people. If you have too much, doesn't it overwhelm the person?
Well, I have another parameter that you can use that will also answer this question. I tell my clients to use either their storage tools that they have in their home or their physical structure of their home, their closets themselves, as the parameter. Here's your closet. Here's your closet bar. You're allowed to have as many clothes as this closet bar. If you get one more thing, now you're shoving it, it's falling off there, you're throwing it on the floor because it can't sit on the bar, and now you have clutter. If you have an inbox, have filled it, and at this point now you're shoving papers into the inbox to fit in there, start taking action on the things in the inbox. Use the physical structure that you have around you as the parameters for how many you're allowed to have.
For how much you can have.
If the dresser filled with T-shirts, you're done.
And on that note, we are going to take a break. We are done for the moment, but only the moment. We'll be back in just a few minutes at the Dr. Nicole Show at HealthyLife.net. Stay with us. We're going to talk about how to smooth your life out and declutter your world. Back in a minute.
Dr. Doris Day is a board-certified dermatologist who specializes in laser, cosmetic, and surgical dermatology on the Upper East Side of New York City. Dr. Day believes in looking your best at any age with the most conservative, personalized, and gentle approach. Day Dermatology and Aesthetics is located at 135 East 71st Street. For more information about Dr. Day's new product line, visit our website at www.miclerskin.com or by calling 212-772-0740. Find out more about Dr. Day and her products like Light and Bright Pads, Facial Silk Sunscreen, and Calming Sea Gel. That's www.miclerskin.com or 212-772-0740. Feel and look beautiful. You deserve it. That's Dr. Doris Day at 212-772-0740. What about me? How to stop selfishness from ruining a relationship. It's the brand new book from Dr. Jane Greer. With 25 years of relationship counseling, Dr. Jane Greer has heard the same questions and seen the same patterns about selfishness in relationships. From wondering if you're living with the most selfish person alive to wondering if you are the one with the selfish tendencies, Dr. Jane Greer will help you see an option to the never-ending fight. Stop the guilty pressure of selfish sex and other actions, and pressure to do everything to reprove your love in a relationship. Vanessa Williams, the actress, says Dr. Jane Greer's book, What About Me, is a must-read. This book is both insightful and empowering. You too can end the selfish game and move from me to we. Find out more about Dr. Jane at drjanegreer.com. Also find What About Me on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, SourceBooks.com, independent bookstores, and any place else books are sold.
If you're like the 8 out of 10 women that say finding jeans that fit is a problem, well, your problem is solved. Lee Jeans has done extensive research, and they have jeans that fit. There's even an online Lee Fit Finder so you can find the right fit for you. Imagine jeans that instantly slim you with a custom fit and no gap waistband. And guys, kids, Lee has jeans for you too. Click through to Lee's Jeans on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and get what fits.
Karma. Good karma. Good karma means the Good Karma Collection, a jewelry line embraced by some of Hollywood's biggest names and featured as a style-setting piece in People's Magazine. The Good Karma Collection is a timeless, stylish gift for teens, men, women, anyone. A unique collection of sterling silver jewelry, all designed to promote good wishes and good karma. A percentage of profits is donated to cancer-related charities across the USA. Check out the engraved Chinese characters representing positive energy, harmony, success, or their bestseller, a sterling silver pendant on a silver ball chain. Affordable, beautiful, and good karma. Found at Zero Minus Plus Boutique at Fred Siegel in Santa Monica, California, or call 310-395-5718. That's 310-395-5718.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Doctor on Call Show at HealthyLife.net. I'm Dr. Jane Greer. I'm talking with Julia Wright and Nicole Abramovici, who have been on the CPS News Better TV. They are genius organizing. They are at www.geniusorganizingoneword.com, because if you've got them helping you organizing, you've got the genius at work, and you will be decluttering your life. This is such an overwhelming issue for so many people. What's the best way to step in and implement change that isn't too distressing, that isn't too anxiety-provoking for people in terms of letting go? How do you jump in and get them started with and on board with throwing things out?
Well, I like to talk about goals. We talk about goals all the time. So when Nicole and I first meet a client, we will ask them what their goal is. And because it comes from them, and because they've hired us to bring us in, they are already have taken the first step. You know, it's like they say, the first step to realize we have a problem. So once the goal is set, the goal is either I need space for my child to play, I need my in-laws moving in, I need a guest room, or I need to get ready faster in the morning so I can find my clothes for work. Whatever the goal is, that's how we sort of continue to gently nudge throughout the process, because we always come back to the goal. If the goal is you want to be able to get dressed faster and not be late for work and putting your job in jeopardy and spiraling out of control, then probably 25 pair of pants are too many. And we want this deposit to be organized and so that you can find everything quickly in the morning. So gently starting out with the goal, finding out what the goal is, and then jumping right in and taking things out of a closet or a drawer or a room and putting lights with lights determining what can go and what can stay and what can donate. And that even brings up a great point about donating. We encourage people, because it's an easier sell than throw this away. We don't like to be wasteful. And actually Nicole can speak to this too, because she does a lot of homeless outreach.
So one thing that definitely does help people, a lot of people are hanging on to things because they feel it would be very wasteful for them to get rid of them. So we bring things to the street. We know charities that will come pick up from you without any problems. We know customized charities, like specific items that will take things. And we help people feel that they will not just throw things away. And one thing that I actually do as part of the experiment is I dress up in a costume and I go to homeless people on the street and to animal shelters and drop off items that my clients are going to see that to take the situation to use. And the clients love to hear that and make them freer to let things go.
You know, that's a great point, because I think you're absolutely right. People also hold on not only because they think that, you know, they might use it one day, but just what you said, that it would be such a waste to throw it away, or they didn't yet get their money's worth out of it, or, you know, they bought it and it's only halfway empty, so why don't I keep it, rather than cutting their losses and saying, you know what, it was a mistake, let me move it out and move it on to somebody who might enjoy it.
Right, we divert it for them. And we can also, we get really micro so that people can understand, like, where their items are going to go into the trash. There's electronic recycling. There are websites out there, like Gazelle.com, that will allow you to put your item up there and sell your electronic item. They'll pay you cash for your electronic old camera that you're not using anymore, your old keyboard. There are textile recycling. Lots of art programs in local schools will take textiles and other items like that. So we try to continue on with a life kit item just outside of our clients' homes.
Right.
As often as we can.
I think that's great, because it really gives people, it creates options. And I think for so many people, once you start to fall into clutter, it becomes a byproduct of feeling that you have no options. There's nowhere to put it. You can't get rid of it. You want to keep it. And then you feel stuck.
Right. When we come in, everything starts to happen. When the organizer shows up, it's time to get organized. When the organizer shows up, it's time to shake things up and let some things go. The changes happen to people when they bring somebody in like us to help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important that the realization is you're going to let some things go and make some space. And do you find, like, I was talking with one of my people, and she was talking about a lot of things that she had in storage. And so when do you get a storage room and hold on to old clothes? And when do you say, or stuff that's in boxes, and when do you say, you know what, if it's in a box, if it's in storage, I haven't used it in a year or two, I'm done.
Well, I think that goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, about you have to set a couple of parameters for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, if it checks off three of the boxes, then it's got to go. Because the goal is to either save money and not have a storage unit, or to actually use your stuff. Use the things that you're loving from your great aunt, Molly, who has passed away and left you 12, you know, blankets that are going to be passed down. Sometimes we just own stuff like that, that we have to have forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you really set up the parameters, like what's the quality of the item? Is it useful? Have I used it? What's the life of this item? Am I going to use it? Is it going to go pass down to somebody? When you check off three out of five of those boxes that no, you know, it's in poor condition, it's not going to be used, then that way it can go. So maybe agreeing ahead of time on a set of standards that you want for those items will help someone go in, if they were to go in by themselves without an organizer, then they can make those decisions.
I think an organizer is really, it's like a life coach when it comes to trying to reclaim your personal space, because for so many people, it is so challenging to try and figure out where to jump in and start looking at what is important and what's important to hold on to and what's important to let go of.
Absolutely, and I say this all the time. I'm the permission giver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you permission to throw away your Aunt Molly's butter dish that you're not ever going to use because you feel guilty. I'm the cheerleader. I am whenever somebody's having a really hard time and they put the trash in the bin. We're like, go for it. We're really excited. We're gonna
go for it and take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us at the Dr. On Call Show at HealthyLife.net so that you can continue to learn how to declutter your life. Back in a minute.
What about me? How to Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship. It's the brand new book from Dr. Jane Greer. With 25 years of relationship counseling, Dr. Jane Greer has heard the same questions and seen the same patterns about selfishness in relationships. From wondering if you're living with the most selfish person alive to wondering if you are the one with the selfish tendencies, Dr. Jane Greer will help you see an option to the never-ending fight. Stop the guilty pressure of selfish sex and other actions, and pressure to do everything to reprove your love in a relationship. Vanessa Williams, the actress, says Dr. Jane Greer's book, What About Me, is a must-read. This book is both insightful and empowering. You, too, can end the selfish game and move from me to we. Find out more about Dr. Jane at drjanegreer.com. Also, find What About Me on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, SourceBooks.com, independent bookstores, and any place else books are sold.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the Internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com, and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
It's a luxury you can't afford. Bernard's limousine service is always available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Their fully equipped stretch limousines and late model sedans are available for airport pickup, corporate meetings, or that very special occasion. Bernard's limousine service has many safe driving awards, prompt, courteous, professional chauffeurs, and over 15 years of experience. In the New York area, it's always Bernard's limousine service. Corporate accounts are welcome. Call 888-301-1800. That's 888-301-1800. Or visit them online at www.bernardslimousineservice.com. Dr. Doris Day is a board-certified dermatologist who specializes in laser, cosmetic, and surgical dermatology on the Upper East Side in New York City. Dr. Day believes in looking your best at any age with the most conservative, personalized, and gentle approach. Day Dermatology and Aesthetics is located at 135 East 71st Street.
For more information about Dr. Day's new product line, visit our website at www.myclearskin.com or by calling 212-772-0740. Find out more about Dr. Day and her products like Light and Bright Pads, Facial Silk Sunscreen, and Calming Sea Gel. That's www.myclearskin.com or 212-772-0740. Feel and look beautiful. You deserve it. That's Dr. Doris Day at 212-772-0740.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Dr. On Call Show at HealthyLife.net. I'm Dr. Jane Greer. I'm talking with the genius organizers, Julia Wright and Nicole Abramovici. Their website, www.geniusorganizing.com. They are the dream, your dream to your nightmare of clutter. They are the ones who can come in and make the nightmare disappear. And I want to tell you, I was just thinking as we were talking, I was working with a couple the other day in my office, and it was exactly this issue that was coming up between them. In New York, as we all know, the space is tight, the apartments are small, and so if one person has the tendency toward clutter and is not on top of their organizational skills as such, and the other person is, you can well imagine the friction that that can create. And what the one partner was saying, you know, I come in, I see all the papers all over the place, I see all the stuff around, and that makes me so anxious. I'm trying to de-stress and decompress from a day on the job, and I come in and see my partner stuff everywhere, and I wind up feeling out of control, and then I get angry, and then I don't want to be involved, and then I don't want to feel, you know, and be sexual. So you think it's just a pile of clutter, but it's so interesting the impact that somebody else's disorganization and need to hold on to certain stuff, or, you know, whatever the undercurrent is, the impact that it can have on the person that you're living with. Have you come into that with?
Absolutely. And, you know, we are a lot of times with tiebreakers, another hat we wear,
mm-hmm.
Between husband and wife,
mm.
and or partners in general. But I'll tell you that 95% of the time, it is a joint effort. It takes two tango. There, I will see people pointing fingers and like, this is her mess, and yeah, tell her to throw that away. Tell her to throw that away. She's kept all this stuff. And then I'll turn around and say, well, what about this? This, you know, dusty stack of magazines that's been here since 2002. Well, no. We can't get rid of that. And it takes two to tango in that scenario, where
right.
it is all one, it's very, very few and far between, where it's all one-sided. But you're right, it does see how it bleeds over into the other parts of your life, the emotional parts of your life, because, you know, you look at it as, you don't care about me, and you
right.
don't care about how I feel about my nest, my home.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a direct, you know, that is an immediate emotional response to someone who has clutter. It's like, I've asked you, I've told you, I've said this bothers me, I've said it that it stresses me out, and you don't care enough to take care of it. And hopefully the spouses that are listening to this that have their, you know, that are like, yeah, that's me. Hopefully they will understand that no one is trying to wreck their life.
Mm-hmm.
No one is trying to make them feel more anxiety. I feel like that if you can't get a handle on it, then maybe there needs to be an intervention. Someone needs to step in. Maybe they do need to call for help because spouses have got to become understanding. Most of the people do not, I think in general as humans, we do not want to live with an overwhelming amount of clutter. It's an emotional response to anxiety. It's an emotional response to anxiety. It's an emotional response to the way we were brought up. There's many factors. We could be lonely, whatever it is, but nobody wants to live in a pile of clutter or in a state of chaos. I just don't believe that that's true. And so I think it takes two to tango. I think people need to be more understanding. I always encourage couples to challenge each other. You know what? You hate all my clothes, honey? Well, I'm going to throw out 10 pieces of clothes if you get rid of 10 pieces of sporting equipment. Or if you get rid of 10 of your model car, you know, sets. Like, I say,
set up a challenge. Everybody participates and nobody loses.
I think that's such a great point, and it is so true that, you know, clutter is one person's personal need. I have a book out called What About Me? Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship, and you just made such a great point that people do personalize their significant others, their partners' need to hold on to stuff and their need to clutter. I mean, there just are people who are streamlined, like things clean, clear. They don't like a lot of stuff, and they don't get attached to that much physical stuff. There are people who get attached to lots of things. There are people who, as you were saying earlier, from their backgrounds, there's more of a feeling of deprivation, so they have a greater need to make sure they have abundance in terms of supplies or holding on to what they had. And it's very important, if you're going through this as a couple, that you not take it as a personal statement against you, that it really is much more about your partner's issues, your husband, your wife, your friend, your significant other, sibling. It's their anxiety. It's their way to attempt to cope with having what they need and having what they want close at hand, even if it's so close at hand that they get lost in it because they can't handle how much of it they've got.
We're glad that you understand.
Yes, because it is really the source of a lot of arguing and a lot of power struggles. And, you know, the most important thing is to appreciate, hey, you know, he or she, whoever the significant person in your life might be who's cluttering things up, they have a snag, they have an issue with it, and you have options that you can take it on and try and get into making it your own by trying to get them to change, or you can figure out what you can do to work around it so that it doesn't, as you said earlier, bleed into you and become your anxiety as well.
That isn't so easy to do sometimes, though. If someone is really kind of pushing it with their clutter, it's not that easy for the one who's being affected by it to create the boundaries. So one thing that I have seen is that sometimes we have a client who wants to get organized, and their spouse is saying, why do you need to hire someone? Why don't you just do that yourself? What's wrong with you? Just do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that that's been going on for some period of time, and I look at it like no one's winning this. The person just isn't doing it themselves. They can't. They won't. They don't know how. Whatever it is, they're getting sort of bullied by the other partner. Nothing's getting organized, and the situation is continuing to stay exactly as it is in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So even that's something that we find upsetting, and we're glad that we let them in. And the way that we handle that is to be extremely respectful of the reluctant partner and not mess up their stuff and make them feel supported that things are happening in their house that they didn't approve, and turning out the results that everybody can be happy with and live with.
It's so important that you get them both involved and don't get into taking it on between them, but that, you know, that you're really able to see the potential for, you know, this could be hazardous to your health, and really start to work with both of them around it, because it really can be hazardous to your health.
Oh, absolutely. If I could speak to that for just a moment. It's not only about hazardous to your mental health, but I want to say that people forget, because you live in a space and you tend to not see things because you glossed over it or you've ignored it for so long. And I am always surprised that people cannot see what's actually going on in their home. If clutter can cause rodents.
Really?
See in your
wow.
house. Bugs, in bedding and things that sit in the bottom of a closet. You can have nesting and infestation. You can have dust mites. You can have
wow.
allergies.
So it can really create a lot of very real, compelling physical issues in your physical environment. Important to know, and on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute at the Dr. On Call Show at HealthyLife.net.
What about me? How to stop selfishness from ruining your relationship. It's the brand new book from Dr. Jane Greer. With 25 years of relationship counseling, Dr. Jane Greer has heard the same questions and seen the same patterns about selfishness in relationships.
From wondering if you're living with the most selfish person alive to wondering if you are the one with the selfish tendencies, Dr. Jane Greer will help you see an option to the never-ending fight. Stop the guilty pressure of selfish sex and other actions, and pressure to do everything to reprove your love in the relationship. Vanessa Williams, the actress, says Dr. Jane Greer's book, What About Me, is a must-read. This book is both insightful and empowering. You too can end the selfish game and move from me to we. Find out more about Dr. Jane at drjanegreer.com. Also, find What About Me on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, SourceBooks.com, independent bookstores, and any place else books are sold.
Stand by for a free offer. Are you suffering from digestive upsets, pain, stiffness, weight issues, or circulatory concerns? It could be enzyme depletion. You know, without enzymes, your body may not be absorbing the nutrients you need. So you may need AbsorbAid Platinum with 12 essential enzymes plus 2 strains of heat-stable probiotics. It'll help improve digestion of all foods and can help support your immune system, too. Great for avid sports enthusiasts or people affected by stress, illness, injury, or age. Scientifically proven effective by prestigious labs like Roche and Mayo Clinic, and we want to give you a bottle free. Call now and buy a bottle of AbsorbAid Platinum at our incredibly low price, and we'll give you a second bottle free. But don't wait.
Available at your local health food store or call directly 1-800-827-7656. AbsorbAid Platinum, 800-827-7656.
Dr. Doris Day is a board-certified dermatologist who specializes in laser, cosmetic, and surgical dermatology on the Upper East Side in New York City. Dr. Day believes in looking your best at any age with the most conservative, personalized, and gentle approach. Day Dermatology and Aesthetics is located at 135 East 71st Street. For more information about Dr. Day's new product line, visit her website at www.myclearskin.com or by calling 212-772-0740. Find out more about Dr. Day and her products like Light and Bright Pads, Facial Silk Sunscreen, and Calming Sea Gel. That's www.myclearskin.com or 212-772-0740. Feel and look beautiful. You deserve it. That's Dr. Doris Day at 212-772-0740.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Show at HealthyLife.net. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and I am speaking with the genius organizing gals, Julia Wright and Nicole Abramovici. We've been talking about getting rid of clutter, de-stressing your life, getting rid of the emotional baggage that comes along with all the stuff that you get attached to. So let's just use the remaining time in the show to talk about the takeaway tips that people can really hold on to instead of their stuff, so that they can let go of their stuff. What are the most important things you think that will help them launch their journey to declutter?
Well, I think they should start with some of our time-saving tips, which Julia will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of things that we talk about all the time, which are, if you do nothing, then if you do these, maybe one of five things, or all five of these, then you can change your life dramatically. One is, no matter how tired, no matter how long you work, no matter how crazy the kids are, no matter what your day looked like, if you just hang up your clothes when you get home,
mm-hmm.
or put them in the laundry
mm-hmm.
immediately, or before you go to bed, so if you just do that one thing, it eliminates the pile, which the pile causes anxiety, and the pile is a whole, like, oh, now I got to do, 45 minutes of putting away my clothes. If you just would do that every night, that will save you a ton of time.
What, and
keep you from clutter.
Let me ask you a quick question, though. Why do you think people don't do the simple or the obvious?
I think because they don't understand the ramifications of they don't put A and B together.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're tired and we're lazy, and I always say, I love to be lazy. I want to be proactive on the front end so I can be lazy on the back end. I want to wash my clothes more often so I don't have as much laundry to put away. I want to unpack my suitcase the second I get home. No matter how tired I am, if it's 2 in the morning, I will unpack that suitcase because you know what? That suitcase, if it doesn't happen immediately, it'll sit for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear that a lot. That happens a lot. Immediately when something is damaged, you need to throw it away immediately or donate it or put it into the textile recycling or something like that immediately. Those kinds of things can really help. I also really encourage people to use a technique called the Pomodoro technique, and I use sort of the television as my Pomodoro technique. I like watching TV, but I hate doing dishes. But I can't do two things at once. But I've tried to do, when a commercial break is on, I'll do five dishes. And I'll go back into my watching my TV. I can have my cake and eat it too.
The buddy system. Doing something unpleasant and partner it with something pleasant.
That's right.
And a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Exactly. That's right. And that's what the time technique we teach people. If you think it's going to take you 2 hours to declutter your junk drawer, nobody wants to do that. So you take an egg timer, you set it for 20 minutes, you do as much as you can do in 20 minutes, and then when that timer goes off, you go and you have a cup of tea, you watch the TV, you read a book, you walk around the block, whatever brings you pleasure, and for about 10 minutes, and then you can come back to it. Even if you know you don't do anything else that day, if you do one of those 20-minute time blocks a day, you will accomplish something, which alleviates guilt for not doing anything, which alleviates anxiety. It makes you feel good about yourself. You're, you know, building serotonin in your body. I mean, like, it's just, even if you just do that 20 minutes, and it's, what the positive thing is that with this technique, is most times people find, you know what, I wanted to go back and do more. I was so happy that I had a finite amount of time that I had to work, that I felt I can go back and do another 20 minutes to the same.
You know, I love what you both are saying, because so often I will see that with the people that I'm working with. The expectations are so sky high that it really stops you at the gate in terms of beginning, because there's so much to tackle and so much to take on that you just get overwhelmed before you begin and say, what's the point? And I think I love what you're saying. Keep it simple. Keep it small. Do a little bit. It doesn't have to be the entire room. I remember once a couple that I worked with, they wanted to reorganize and clean and renovate the bedroom. And, I mean, I was hearing this for like 2-3 years, and finally I asked the husband, what was holding you, you know, what is holding you back? And he said, well, if I start with the rug in the bedroom, then I have to do the rug all around the house, and if I start painting the bedroom, then I have to paint the entire house. And so he was unable to keep it focused and contained and simple to the task at hand, and it became so much more of a bigger project that he would never start.
That's a shame. I mean, that's exactly something that we would encounter and advise on. You know, take one thing at a time. Try to start with something that will only take 5 minutes or 15 minutes. If you had to just take the rug out, I don't know what that situation was, but if it was like a rolled-up rug, you just drag it out. You've got 5 minutes. And then you get that momentum building that Julio was talking about.
Right. And it really, it changes things completely, because that way, if you keep it realistic, you do a little bit and you feel good. And as you said earlier, you stay on top of something so that instead of it suddenly building up and toppling you, you're able to keep the controls in place.
Mm-hmm. So there's so many techniques to talk about today that people can use. It can be the matter of knowing the right questions to ask yourself to make a decision about an item. It can be using the space that you have in your home as a parameter for how much you're allowed to have. It can be using these time management techniques that we've been talking about, so you don't overwhelm yourself. There's really a lot.
They're all great techniques, and they are techniques that give you the control and put you in control, so that instead of being ruled by the emotional baggage of the past and the clutter of the present, you really can edit out, weed out, the stuff been to you, so that you have only that which is meaningful in the moment. And in the moment, we're going to take a break. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute at the Dr. R. Call Show at HealthyLife.net.
What about me? How to Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship. It's the brand new book from Dr. Jane Greer. With 25 years of relationship counseling, Dr. Jane Greer has heard the same questions and seen the same patterns about selfishness in relationships. From wondering if you're living with the most selfish person alive to wondering if you are the one with the selfish tendencies, Dr. Jane Greer will help you see an option to the never-ending fight.
Stop the guilty pressure of selfish sex and other actions, and pressure to do everything to reprove your love in the relationship. Vanessa Williams, the actress, says Dr. Jane Greer's book, What About Me, is a must-read. This book is both insightful and empowering. You, too, can end the selfish game and move from me to we. Find out more about Dr. Jane at drjanegreer.com. Also, find What About Me on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, SourceBooks.com, independent bookstores, and any place else books are sold. Dr. Doris Day is a board-certified dermatologist who specializes in laser, cosmetic, and surgical dermatology on the Upper East Side in New York City. Dr. Day believes in looking your best at any age with the most conservative, personalized, and gentle approach. Day Dermatology and Aesthetics is located at 135 East 71st Street. For more information about Dr. Day's new product line, visit her website at www.myclearskin.com or by calling 212-772-0740. Find out more about Dr. Day and her products like Light and Bright Pads, Facial Silk Sunscreen, and Calming Sea Gel. That's www.myclearskin.com or 212-772-0740. Feel and look beautiful. You deserve it. That's Dr. Doris Day at 212-772-0740.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Well, I want to thank my guests, Genius Organizing's Julia Wright and Nicole Abramovici. They are found at www.geniusorganizing.com for being such great guests and giving us such great tips for decluttering, making room, and giving ourselves the space to take a deep breath. Thank you so much for being on the Dr. Uncle Show and with us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us. A real pleasure, and you're welcome back anytime. And speaking of coming back next week, everybody, it's the Let's Talk Sex Show at the Dr. Uncle. You want to be here. We're going to be talking with another great sex expert, and, of course, we're going to be doing the opening closed doors with Canada's reigning Let's Talk Sex at 11, Rebecca Rosenblatt, so stay with us. And thank you for listening today. Remember, you can always get what you want when you're in the know.